The epistle is taken from the book of Proverbs. When one finds a worthy wife, her value is far more than pearls. Her husband, entrusting his heart to her, has an unfailing prize. She brings him good and not evil all the days of her life. She obtains wool and flax and makes cloth with skillful hands. Like merchant ships, she secures her provisions from afar. She rises while it is still night and distributes food to her household. She picks out a field to purchase. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is girt about with strength, and sturdy are her arms. She enjoys the success of her dealings. At night, her lamp is undimmed. She puts her hand to the distaff, and her fingers ply the spindle. She reaches out her hands to the poor, and extends her arms to the needy. She fears not the snow for her household. All her chargers are doubly clothed. She makes her own coverlets. Fine linen and purple are her clothing. Her husband is prominent at the city gates as he sits with the elders of the land. She makes garments and sells them, and stockings the merchants with belts. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs at the days to come. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and on her tongue is kindly counsel. She watches the conduct of her household, and eats not her food in idleness. Her children rise up and praise her, her husband too extols her. Many are the women of proven worth, but you have excelled them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. The woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a reward of her labors, and let her works praise her at the city gates. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to his disciples. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in a field. He who finds it hides it, and in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he finds a single pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea that gathered in fish of every kind. When it was filled, they hauled it out, and sitting down on the beach, they gathered the good fish into vessels, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the world. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from among the just, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, so then every scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings forth from his storeroom things new and old. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we celebrate the feast of our patroness, St. Anne. St. Anne is, of course, the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it is through her motherhood that her great sanctity arises. It is because she is the mother of the Mother of our Lord that St. Anne has a special place in all of the saints. She has a unique position as the mother of Our Lady, just in a way like Our Lady, because she is the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. She has special graces and is set above all other saints. So our patroness, St. Anne, because she's the mother of Our Lady, she's had to have had or received special graces. In 1854, Pope Pius IX defined the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, where he defined it, and it had been debated for centuries. In the Middle Ages, there were saints who took opposite sides on this issue. And it was finally resolved by Pope Pius IX. He said that from the first moment of her existence, from the first moment of her conception, Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary, was preserved from every stain of original sin. And he ended a debate by doing that. This is now revealed doctrine that every Catholic is to believe. Our Lady did not suffer the effects of the fall, something that every one of us here suffers. Our first parent, Adam, committed a sin, and because of that sin, the human race was then born without this grace, this sanctifying grace that every one of us was to have. We were to be born in a state different than what we are being born today in, what our children, what each of us has been brought into this world. Sanctifying grace that makes us holy, a child of God, a temple of the Holy Spirit, makes us heirs to heaven, was lost to everyone. But in addition to that, other graces were lost. There were graces that helped us to not sin. There were graces that strengthened the soul. Our soul we would have had a stronger will to say no. We would have had a more enlightened intellect. We would have understood things better if Adam hadn't fallen, if we hadn't have lost these graces. I've talked about this mysterious thing called concupiscence. This concupiscence arises from our sins. It's not sin, but it arises from sin and leads to sin. And we wouldn't have suffered this either. This is something that even though we've been given baptism to take away original sin, that is, we get sanctifying grace, it does not take away concupiscence. So even if someone had committed sins in the past and they're baptized, their sins are forgiven, they still bear that damage to their soul, that concupiscence that arises from sin. We wouldn't have had this. All these things are the effect of the fall. And Our Lady was shielded from these. She was given a preservation from all these effects. She is a human being, but she was preserved and is different from us in terms of spirituality, in terms of her sanctity. Now, when we think about this, her Immaculate Conception, we need to think a little about grammar. Grammar, yes. So, each child is conceived. It is something passive. We could talk about someone being carried. John is carried. It's a passive tense. And then the natural question from that is, well, John is carried by whom? Who's carrying John? John is carried. It's not complete. Who did it? Who's doing it? It is Tim and Bob are carrying John. And so we say Our Lady was immaculately conceived. Many times when we think of the Immaculate Conception, we just think of Our Lady and God. God kind of gave her these graces at the moment of her conception, and then that's it. But many of the mystics and theologians will take that a step further and say, no, Our Lady was conceived immaculately. And then we say, who is it that conceived her? It was her parents. Her parents had a special role in this. They were given special graces. Now, this is not a teaching of the Church. You won't find the Pope that says this, but many theologians say this, and many mystics also say this. And so it may be a debated point, and so I want people to understand this. However, there was a strong tradition in the Church for this, that St. Anne and St. Joachim were given special graces to conceive of Our Lady in a very pure and holy way. Now, Our Lady was conceived like everyone else, biologically, but we're talking spiritually here. And so it is from the Immaculate Conception then we can reason back and we can say that St. Anne then had to have received special graces. Everyone here should know that marriage is for the procreation and education of children, and of course the mutual benefit of the spouses. But in terms of children, it is for procreation and education. And this would apply also to Our Lady's parents, that they procreated, but then they were also supposed to educate. And so when we think about it some more, we say, well, if Our Lady was given this special grace of being free from all sin, then her parents had to have been given special graces, not just to conceive her, but to educate her, to help her to learn the great graces that she has, her great position, but also to help her to say no to sin. Remember, Our Lady was tempted also. We tend to think that because she was free from sin, that somehow she wasn't tempted at all. No, she had temptations also. She had a free will. And so it was her parents that taught her about God. And because of Our Lady's unique position, then her parents should have received special graces, so that both in a classroom type teaching, but also in their personal behavior, that they were teaching Our Lady to be free from sin. You know, we say actions speak louder than words, so we have to imagine that St. Anne was at a very high state of sanctity in order to be the example of motherhood, the example of womanhood for Our Lady. And so she had to have had these great graces. And almost every image of St. Anne represents this. We see the image over here and the image here, and they are both about the education of Our Lady. Of course, it's always like a book education, but we understand that's a symbolism of the complete education, that St. Anne then would have to have taught her by her example also. So in the statue over there, St. Anne has the scriptures. It's basically the Old Testament, and she's teaching Our Lady about God. Here, she is looking at Our Lady, and Our Lady is looking at her, and she's pointing up to heaven. And so that represents, again, that she's teaching Our Lady about God. She's teaching her. And so this represents the great role that St. Anne has. And this is why St. Anne is the patron of Christian mothers. We would think that Our Lady would be the patron of Christian mothers, but it's St. Anne, because she's the one who then taught Our Lady how to be a good and holy mother. And so because of these graces, and we can think about it, and I want to say again that this aspect, again, this is what mystics and theologians say, what saints and blessed and theologians say. The Church has not said a word much about this. But when we think about it, it makes sense. And in the tradition of the Church, it is supported. Saint Anne is the only saint who has a special title. She is not just often called Saint Anne, but she is referred to as Good Saint Anne. We don't refer to her too much here at our church with that title, but you'll find it, Good Saint Anne. She's given this additional title of good in order to represent this special role she has in really salvation history, her special relationship with Our Lady. And because of this, because of all this grace that she must have received, this great sanctity that she must have had, she is oftentimes held to a similar level as Saint Joseph or Saint John the Baptist. These are saints who have special roles in salvation, and so Saint Anne is one of them. And this is again reflected in her title, Good Saint Anne. So today, on her, as we celebrate her special feast day, let us turn to Good Saint Anne and ask her to intercede for us, for our families. The society we live in is hostile to families, and we need her prayers, her intercession, for our families, for our church, for our country, and for our world. So let us turn to Good Saint Anne and ask her to intercede for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.